take time to open your word. We ask that you will speak to your people, that you will speak through these lips of mine. And may all the honor and all the glory be to your name, the name of Jesus, because we ask it in his name. Amen. Title of the sermon is The Church and Its Mission. If you've been looking at the internet, you might be seeing a lot of chatter, especially within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, regarding church. And this topic was something that came to my mind this week and the weeks before this last one, because I received a phone call from a good friend of mine, Bruce, who belongs to the Presbyterian Church. And for almost 7 years, he's been my prayer partner. Once a week, he faithfully calls me. He says, "Samuel, let's pray." And so I take that opportunity and I pray with him. And he'll share with me what's happening in his church. And what are some of the things that they're looking at and they're challenged with. And one of the things that he mentioned was, we have 2,000 members coming to our church. And how can we engage them in God's mission? That was the question. And he shared with me that his church had actually done a survey. And in this survey, they had just sent out all these surveys to the members where they were going to write their answers and they were going to find out their spiritual gifts. And once they had found out their spiritual gifts, they would then connect with a small group, and together they would work toward sharing that gift that God has given each one of these members. And we can praise God that there's many talents and gifts here at the Fallbrook Church. Amen? And we just heard a few of them this morning, and how God is using each one of us to fulfill his mission. This thought also came because I spoke this week and the previous week with some of our pastors from North County and some of our administrators from the Southeastern California Conference. They invited me to give a devotional thought at their meeting on Monday morning. So some of these thoughts come from there as well. As I thought of my church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the mission that God has called us to fulfill. I was burdened to share this with these pastors and administrators. When we think of church, what comes to mind? What pictures come to your mind? I was in Orange County at the Adventist Academy there, and I had my first year of being a pastor. I said, wow, all the church members, they volunteer so many hours in helping out our local church. I can do the same thing. So I said, I'm going to volunteer for a whole year and teach Bible at the academy. And so I did that, and it was a great experience. It's different. Being a teacher is a lot of discipline, a lot of patience, a lot of hard work. And I admire all of you who are teachers or have taught in the past. It's incredible work that you do with these young minds. And I asked the question, what is church to these teenagers? And they came up with, you know, it's what we do on Sabbath morning. When we go to church and hear a sermon. It's when we go to Sabbath school and study this lesson. It's when we go out and visit people that might be, you know, needing a visit, just someone to come by and visit them, or come by and sing to them. And so that's what they were expressing as church. And some said, you know, when we have Vespers, and they mentioned all the activities that do happen in our church. But there was one young person who came up to the chalkboard, and this is what he wrote. And I want to share this because I think this was very powerful, what he shared with me and how he taught me that day. And he wrote that. C-H-U-R-C-H. Amen? He said, you are church. You are God's people who've been called with a very special mission. The epistles that Paul writes, who does he write to? The church in different places. And his worry, his burden for the people of God who are constantly being pushed from place to place, who are constantly experiencing challenges, who are constantly facing danger, persecution, who are constantly being put aside and ignored maybe. And Paul had this burden for his church, and so he writes these letters, these love letters, I would like to say, from God himself to his people, saying, encouraging them to keep going, do not let anything distract them from the mission. And so, if you have your Bibles, I'm just going to invite you to turn to your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just read some things that he writes about the church here. And many of you know, this is the chapter where it talks about gifts and talents that God has given his church to do the mission. And Paul, what he does here, he uses the body, the human body, and says just like there's a hand and there's an eye and there's a foot and there are different parts, different members, we are still all part of one body. Amen? And that one body, he says, is Christ. It's Christ's body. It's not Pastor Sam's body or not your body. It's Christ's body that we are representing here. And each body part has a very important function. We don't ignore it. Anybody hurt their pinky? Wow, what happens when you hurt that little finger called the pinky? It all the body reacts, right? Your feet react, your eyes look. Everything just kind of like coordinates to protect that one member that is suffering. And Paul explains here also that just the same way that we rejoice when one member does well, so all the members rejoice with that one member. And I want you to look specifically at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And it says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is who? Christ. So also is Christ. How do you keep all these different body parts together? That was one of Paul's concerns. You see, he had a church that was full of people who were coming from all over. The Roman Empire had extended itself over many parts of the world. And you had all these different categories of people that were just coming into the church because they were finding a freedom they had not heard of before. A freedom that only Jesus can give. Amen? Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. From this mortal body. And they were finding hope in the message of Jesus and him crucified. And that Jesus had risen from the dead. And just like he rose, all those who have died believing in him will rise again. Amen? All those will rise again. And so this good news was being spread all over. And the church was growing leaps and bounds. And so Paul writes to this same church in the second epistle to the Corinthians. And I want you to turn with me there, please. Chapter 5 and verse 14. And he shares with the church the following words. And I read, for the love of Christ does what, brothers and sisters? Compels us, constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are what? All dead. We're all in the same boat, it says. And then verse 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should do what? Not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us what? The ministry of reconciliation. God gave his church a mission. Amen? Called the ministry of what? Reconciliation. And the neat part about it is that he didn't only tell us what we were supposed to do, but he showed us how to do it. Amen? Nancy shared with us this morning a powerful testimony, amen, of what Jesus can do in the life of the roughest person. The person you think has no place at all for God. In the ministry of healing, page 3, it says that Jesus passed by no human being as worthless, but sought to apply the healing remedy to every soul. In whatever company he found himself, he presented a lesson appropriate to the time and the circumstances. Every neglect or insult shown by men to their fellow men only made him more conscious of their need of his divine human sympathy. He sought to inspire with hope the roughest and the most unpromising, setting before them the assurance that they might become blameless and harmless, attaining such a character as would make them manifest as the children of God. Often he met those who had drifted under Satan's control and who had no power to break from his snare. To such a one, discouraged, sick, tempted, fallen, Jesus would speak words of tenderest pity, words that were needed and could be understood. Others he met who were fighting a hand-to-hand battle with the adversary of souls. These he encouraged to persevere, assuring them that they would win, for angels of God were on their side and would give them the victory. At the table of the publicans, he sat as an honored guest. By his sympathy and social kindliness, showing that he recognized the dignity of humanity. And men longed to become worthy of his confidence. Upon their thirsty hearts, his words fell with blessed, life-giving power. New impulses were awakened, and to these outcasts of society, there opened the possibility of a new life. Amen? A possibility of a new life. And this was expressed through Jesus' own words to people who were needing to hear that there is hope. Amen? We look out there, and what do we see, brothers and sisters? Turmoil, right? Difficulties, challenges. And I have a grandfather who's super positive. I mean, he's always smiling. And he's like, we can do this. He's 85 years old. And he's still going at it. He's working hard. And he, And he has his little apartments that he rents out. And I go, Grandpa, how are you doing? And he goes, Sam, things are different. That shocked me when I heard that from him this week. And what I hear in the news is it's not getting better. At least not in Florida. It's not getting better. So what words is God calling his church, us, to share? I think that the mission that God has given us, just like God's love brings us together, it's his mission that keeps us walking together. Amen? It's his mission that keeps us going in the direction that God has given his people to follow. So I want you to turn back to our scripture reading, Matthew 28. I know you know this scripture reading, but I think it's important to remember what is church all about. Well, what is the mission that God has shared with us, that he's given us the privilege, the responsibility to fulfill? And Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he was getting ready to leave, and he wanted them to do this very specific thing. And it says here in my Bible, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make what? Disciples of one nation or of all nations? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe some things? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Very specific. Very specific. Coming back to my friend Bruce and his church, they made all these surveys to connect people into ministry. To tell them, you know, this is your gift and you can do this for God. He said no one was involved. They had a group of 15 people who were supposed to connect people into small groups. And he said only 3 had shown up to their last meeting. And he told me that the next meeting he was going to, he said, Sam, I need you to pray for me because I'm ready to quit too. I'm part of that group and I'm ready to quit. It just isn't working. And so we prayed. And he told me, I think I'm just going to be quiet today. Okay. I'm just going to be quiet and listen to what the other 3 or 4 people who are going to come will say. And when they sat, he said he didn't say a word. But 2 of them had just come back from Colorado. And he shared this information that he then shared with me. And I thought, exactly, that's what God has called each one of us to do. And this is what these 2 persons shared with Bruce. 93% of all church members will be involved, engaged in ministry if someone invites them. 7% will be involved in church ministry on their own initiative. And I said, wow, that's something a 5-year-old can do. Invite someone to know Jesus. Amen? That's something a 100-year-old person can do. Amen? Men, women, young and old, we can all invite someone to know Jesus. How did you come to this church? Who invited you? I'll almost guess that it wasn't a pastor. It was a friend, a neighbor, a family member who invited you to study God's word. Amen? Somebody invited you to know Jesus. And so what God is calling his people to do is to do what? Invite somebody else. Invite somebody else. Invite somebody to know who Jesus is. Roxy shared with us how community service is inviting people to know Jesus. Amen? It's not just what we do here on Sabbath morning. It could be sharing a meal with somebody. It can be somebody inviting somebody to your home and just talking over the table with them. But people are watching us. Amen? They're seeing. What kind of a relationship do we have with Jesus? And what I shared with the pastors in one of the devotionals, I shared with them my experience and how somebody had walked through these doors a long time ago, and how he worshiped with us right here, first service and also second service, and how he just, you know, shared his faith with Jesus, of Jesus with others. And one day he wasn't there anymore. He wasn't sitting there anymore, and thought, you know, he's probably going somewhere else. He's visiting another church. He's worshiping with other brothers and sisters. And about 2 weeks ago, I came to the church office. I had a meeting with somebody, and we spoke. And as I was speaking with this person, he came. This person came, and I did not recognize them. I did not recognize him. He had big beard. He had a lot more hair than he had before. He was as skinny as I was. And that was not him. He was a pretty strong fellow. His clothes didn't match. It was blue. And he was walking very slow. And when I finished my meeting and came back to the office, Lorraine shared with me and with him, here's the pastor. And you know what I thought in my mind? He wants something.
He does.
He wants something. And you know what he said? He said, "Hi, greetings to your wife." And when he said those words, that took me back. I said, why is a stranger wanting to greet my wife? Who are you? I asked that kind of out loud. And he's like, I'm Ben. I'm Ben and Ben and I don't know Ben. Well, I thought I didn't know Ben. And Lorraine said, hey, wait a second. You're the one with the security jacket. I said, yes. I'm the one that used to wear the security jacket. I said, what happened to you? And he said, I lost my job and I stopped taking my medicines. They're very expensive for glaucoma. And I lost my sight. I'm blind. Can't drive. Can't do the basic things we do at home. Fix a meal. Comb your hair. I was like, Ben, what happened? The needs are real out there, aren't they, brothers and sisters? They're real. And I praise God for the Fallbrook Church, and I praise God for people like Marjorie Cash, all by herself without telling anybody, 3 weeks ago she had already heard about Ben and his situation. And he said, Ben, you can't stay this way. You need to shave, Ben. You need to do something. And she's been getting help from different people. And she's been providing a meal with other members of this church and helping Ben on a day-to-day basis. Is there more we can do? There is more we can do. And I asked Marjorie, you be that lead person, because you've been there. You've assessed the situation. You know what's happening. And in whatever we can do to help, we want to share Jesus with people. Amen? We want to share Jesus with people. All people. Different kinds of people. Strange to us sometimes. And we might find out that it's, yes, my brother, my sister, somebody that is connected to God's family. There's a lot happening out there, isn't there? It's real. And I was hearing Dan as he was finishing his Sabbath school lesson. I was in the office and I was listening to him, and his words were, I think, present for us. Things are going to get more difficult. They are. But the only thing that's going to keep us together is if we continue to fulfill the mission God has given his church. To invite people to a Monday night meeting. Invite people to Sabbath school. Invite people. Hey, Harry Schmidt, a member of our church. I'm only saying this because this is relevant to what I'm going to say. He's 81 years old. He got baptized 3 months ago. You know who invited Harry to a Seventh-day Adventist church? A teenager invited him. Praise God. A teenager invited him to church. So no excuses, right, brothers and sisters? In fact, Jesus says, lo, behold what? I am with you. Sometimes? Always. I am with you always. Until the end of the world. Amen? God has not left us alone to fulfill this mission on our own strength. We will fail. But he's promised to guide his people. And what he's calling us to do is to fulfill the mission that he has given us. Will you invite somebody, brothers and sisters? Will you invite somebody to know Jesus? Will you just think, God, who is it that you want me to invite? Who is it? A neighbor, a family member, a friend? Who is it? But help me fulfill the mission that you've given each one of us. Amen.